Welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, your resource for exploring the world of disciple making and leadership within the church. Discover Jesus's strategy for raising up leaders, growing the church, and multiplying a movement. Let's jump into today's episode and explore the power of a disciple making leader.
Well, welcome to another episode of the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. I'm your host for today, Ben Borgman. I'm the executive director of Disciple First and kind of get to steer this episode today and excited to really have a great conversation with a couple of dear friends of mine. Number one, in the studio here today, as always, we got Pastor Craig Etheridge with us today.
Hey, what's up, Ben?
How are you?
Great to see you, my friend.
It's good, always good to see you, Craig.
Yeah, so every time I see you, I say, hello, Ben.
Yeah, there's a local injury attorney here called Ben Abbott, and his thing is hello Ben.
Hello Ben. Yeah, so that's my affectionate greeting to Ben Borgman.
Yeah. So if you have any injury concerns or in a car wreck, just call me.
Just call Ben. Yeah. That's right.
And also too on this episode, I love the topic we're going to talk about today. We're talking about coaching and coaching leaders and the importance of sometimes leaders don't want to ask for help or feel kind of intimidated, but we've got a pastor on that we've had the privilege to get to know for, I mean, I think probably over 6 years now, train, coach, and just really get to know and love Pastor Randy Brown out in Lufkin, Texas. Randy, you on with us?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Good to talk with you guys today.
Yeah, you too.
All right, Randy. Good to have you on the show today as we're talking about coaching.
Yeah. And again, this is one of my favorite topics because, you know, it's like we can talk theory, we can talk philosophy and, hey, this works in this, you know, this box over here. But, you know, a lot of times people are skeptical. What about the real world? What about this? You know, these are great principles, Craig, that you're talking about, but you don't understand my church. You don't understand the problems I'm dealing with. And that's, I mean, honestly, coaching, we get to address that. We're like, okay, how does Jesus' model actually fit in Lufkin, Texas? How does Southside Baptist Church become a disciple-making church? How do these challenges that, you know, Randy's dealing with that are very unique to his church and his context, how do we encourage him through that and just kind of speak from a lot of coaching is just kind of saying, hey, this is the mistake I made. Let me help you not make that mistake. And so that's, I just really like coaching because it's really, hey, it's real world. It's very, it's problem solving and it's tangible. And it really just to me is, it's truly just helping people and encouraging people. And I think that's honestly what we want to do it with Disciple First and in our ministry.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about this as you were speaking, Ben, that you're right. A lot of times we're giving here general principles. You know, that's the beauty and the genius of Jesus is that his disciple-making principles are transferable to any culture, any time, right? And so they will apply in Lufkin and they will apply, you know, in Laredo and they'll apply in South America or wherever. But as you're applying those principles, you know, it looks very different.
Yeah.
So I'm about to go to Southeast Asia and the same principles we train right here in the United States, we're going to train there, but it's going to look completely different there. Oh, yeah. So how do we translate those principles into that immediate context? And we do it through coaching.
Yeah,
where we take the principles of Jesus and then we sit down with the pastor and we say, okay, what does this look like here in your church? What are your unique challenges? What are your problems? A lot of times a pastor can't even think about maybe the fundamental important things because he's got crisis all around him, right? The house is on fire. You know, he's got a conflict with a church leader, or he's got problems, you know, with the committee that's resisting him or whatever the case may be. And so it takes coaching to kind of say, well, how should I navigate that? And honestly, some of these problems are just, it's easy to get stuck. Like I'm trying to move forward. I just feel stuck. And to have somebody from the outside say, you know what? Well, let's pray about this and let's think about it together. And let's kind of come up with a plan to move forward. That's invaluable.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And I think we all need that in our lives in every different way, but especially pastors. So we've talked previously on other episodes about the unique burden that pastors carry, the isolation that a lot of pastor's experience. So even if it's just somebody that you need to be able to vent to, even if it's not formal coaching, you need someone in your life that you can, that can encourage you, that you can talk through problems. And who better than someone that's in the same position as you, or the same, mm-hmm. you know, dealing with similar issues, that can help you navigate that. Pastor Randy, I want to kind of get you on here and just really just introduce who you are. You know, you've never been on the podcast before with us, so we wanted to just introduce yourself to our audience, and then maybe just share a little bit about your journey with this idea of making disciples like Jesus, and at the core of what really made you reach out for help.
Okay. Again, my name is Randy Brown, and I pastor Southside Baptist Church in Lufkin, Texas. We're in East Texas, the Piney Woods. I've been here a little over 9 years, going on 10. For me, really, it goes back as far as trying to making disciples. I was saved as a 10-year-old, but I really wasn't discipled until after I was out of high school. Somebody really began to teach me about how to walk with Christ. But still, there was never really that next step of how do you become a disciple maker. Even in seminary, they really didn't teach those principles that much at all as well. And so in my current pastoral context, trying to read all these books by all the different authors, and it just got where it was such a big task that I found myself stuck, because there were so many different, I was reading so many different guys and trying to figure the thing out. And then, I don't know, I guess it's been 6, 7, 8 years ago, I went to a discipleship deal where Craig was one of the guest speakers, and the things he shared really just stirred my heart. And so then I just began a conversation with the church a little bit, with Cross Creek, about what this process looked like. And then through that process, I had read on the website about their coaching. And so I reached out, and Ben helped me begin to put together a plan to implement some of those strategies in my current church.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about your church. Like, what makes it, like, kind of what setting are you in? Those of, you know, people that may not know where Lufkin is, just tell us a little bit about just kind of your unique context.
Okay. Lufkin, again, is in East Texas. We're about 2 hours north of Houston. We have a pretty good Hispanic population here. Our church is a multi-ethnic church, in that we have a Spanish worship service and we also have an English service. We run probably together around 300. And so we have some language conflicts as far as trying to walk through some of that, but it's really is a great church. They're really open and wanting to learn. And so we're just trying to we want to see a discipleship making movement really begin here in Lufkin and continue out from here.
Yeah. And it's really been, we've been able to go there and actually work with your leaders and train and kind of coach them as well as at the same time that we're kind of working through some things with you kind of one-on-one. And it really is, if you haven't been to East Texas, it's really, you know, it's very, everybody's down to earth. Everybody's real welcoming. So it's super friendly. And it's a great place to do ministry. But again, I feel like, you know, when we first started talking to you about coaching, it was really that you have a lot on your plate. You've got a lot that you're trying to do. I remember a conversation with you, even like for a while you were doing a lot of the maintenance at the church as well. But I mean, then you're trying to manage these basically two congregations in one building, one church, you know, two languages, one church, I think is how you put that. And then, so you have all these teams and people, and man, it was just a lot. I think it was just a lot on your plate. And that was when we initially were having conversation, is how do we develop leaders around you? How are you raising up leaders behind you so that you're not the only one carrying the load? And again, I think hopefully it's been encouraging to you, that process. Cause I mean, we've really been working with you specifically for over a year now. And so real quickly, before we get into a few other things and kick it back to Craig, what benefits have you seen specifically in your church since you reached out for coaching?
I think for me, a lot of it has been, you know, the encouragement and trying to develop a plan. They say that, you know, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? And I think that's one of the big things that you helped me with, was just talking with me through the things that I could see on this plan, that, I mean, on developing the strategy that needed to happen, and then putting them in the right order and providing the accountability and even some of the resources, whether it was encouraging books or bringing in different people to speak about specific things, whether it was Craig talking to me about communication and how to get things out to the church just through that cascading communication out. And so that, to me, that was a big part of it, was just that encouragement. And then also helping me develop a plan to better eat the elephant one bite at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is. And I know, just listening, it can be intimidating. It can be daunting. It can be like, how I'm never going to be able to put all this into place. But if you got a plan, if just take it one step at a time, one bite at a time, like you're saying, it, I think it is achievable. And again, it's been great to watch you and watch the people and the leaders that you've been raising up, and then watching them start to own areas of ministry. It's been really fun to watch from our end as the coach coaching you and encouraging you. It's also been encouraging to us to watch. So Craig,
it's been a big help.
Yeah. And we're appreciative of you and appreciative of all the work that you've given into that. Craig, let's look at, and let's talk about how is coaching different than training? How is coaching different than like a mentor? Just kind of talk us through what is different about coaching.
Yeah, coaching is, I know it's been around a long time, but it seems like in the last 10 years, I've read more about coaching. I've been hearing more about coaching. Of course, where other forms of training are more didactic in nature, more instructional in nature, I'm kind of going through content. I'm reading a book. Those are very, very helpful, right? And we need that. Coaching is less me telling you what to do, and coaching is more me coming alongside you and asking really good questions so that you are able to formulate a plan that is right for you and your context. So as a coach, think about when you're raising your kids, right? Mm-hmm. When you have younger kids, you're instructing all the time, right? You do it this way, you do it this way. As they get a little bit older, there's some accountability. But I know you're not there yet, Ben, but you know, when your kids get a little bit older and they're like grown adults, they don't want you to tell them what to do all the time. Now, your job is to ask a lot of questions that help pull out of them what's already there. And that is, you know, for them to be able to talk through and process through what are the next steps for them. And so coaching requires a lot of listening. Coaching requires a lot of asking the right questions. In fact, most of the books on coaching that I've read, it's just a list of questions. I like one of them had like 100 questions you can ask. And, you might think, well, gosh, I mean, I need help. I don't need somebody asking me a lot of questions. But actually, in that dialogue, in those discussions, then I began to realize, oh, okay, this is what I need to do. And it's not you telling me what to do as much as it is us just working on it together. And so that's really, really helpful. Now, there are sometimes some elements of training that are in a coaching relationship. So sometimes, hey, well, let me give you what's worked for me in this section or this section. But generally, coaching is an ongoing conversation that helps bring clarity and next steps for the person being coached.
Yeah, I think that's really a good point and a good perspective on that, because it is different. I mean, Randy, you and I, you know, we met, like you said, you first started with training. You were thinking through principles, you were reading books, you were doing that. But at some point, it has to go from that page of that book or that thought or this theory and into practice. And so I guess, did you, when you were kind of going to those trainings, what kind of tension were you feeling? Like what friction was there before you reached out to coaching?
You know, I would say that there was a lot of, to me, there was a part where there was an excitement of really seeing the principles of how Jesus made disciples being laid out. But then just the overwhelming of, well, how do you start it? You know, is it just another program and we're going to, you know, try to get 100 people signed up to come jump into this thing? And then seeing that, no, it's a slow process, you know, person by person, just the overwhelming of how do you start this movement when you have to begin so small?
Yeah. Yeah. I think basically it's kind of overwhelming. It's intimidating. That's a really good point. Craig, have you experienced that? And as you've, I mean, how long have you been in ministry now?
Long time.
We don't want to say that, huh?
I need a calculator. But you know, as a young pastor, I was the lead pastor, and trying to figure out what are the steps we need to take. I think one of the things that's unique to pastors and why coaching is so valuable is because you're dealing with so many varied issues at the same time. You need to address your fundamental issues of what is a disciple and how do we make disciples? How do we assess our program? That kind of thing. That's super important. But you're also dealing with all kinds of other issues going on that need your attention. And maybe you're in the middle of a building program, or maybe you're in the middle of a crisis problem, you know, or maybe you've got just a staff member that's gone sideways on you and you're putting out fires because of that. You've got all these other, I want to say ancillary, they're really important. They're urgent, right? But they're not really moving you forward in leading and creating a healthy culture for the church necessarily, but they're incredibly important and you need to give it attention. And so I think coaching kind of helps come in and say, okay, this is, maybe we don't need to deal with this right away. You know, maybe that can sit on the shelf for just a minute. These things we definitely need to handle right off the bat. And so here's some things we can get that. So we get those resolved and off the plate. And now we can really start to focus on the things that are most needful. In fact, I remember coaching with a guy just not too long ago, and he was telling me about some conversation he had with a leader. And he goes, "Is that normal?" And I went, "No, that's not normal." And he was like, "Well, it's good to know." Yeah. You know, I don't know if it's normal or not. He was a new pastor. He goes, "I just thought that was how it is." No, that's not how it should be. And so you need that kind of outside voice coming in that helps look at it with fresh eyes and go, "Okay, if you know, I think you should probably move in these directions."
Yeah, and that's really what we try to do with Disciple First when we're asked to start developing a coaching plan with pastors and leaders. It's really to try to address all of that you just said. It's not just, "Hey, we're going to help you to implement these disciple making principles." What other challenges? Maybe you really need just to spend time with other leaders and just to have someone to talk to. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is a complete strategy overhaul, or let's talk through your group strategy or different things. But what we want to do is provide really a flexible, holistic approach to coaching, not just this, "Hey, here's this thing in a box. This is what we do. Step 1, 2, 3, and then everything's good." We really want to be personal. We really want to make that personalized, that whole experience personalized, and where we can address more than just, "What is a disciple? What's your spiritual pathway? How are you measuring success?" Those types of things, which we do, but we really want to say, "Hey, what challenges as a leader are you facing?" And again, that's with Randy, that's really where we kind of, you know, we hit all those things.
Yep. You know, I think, Ben, too, there are a lot of pastors that don't really want coaching. And I can't speak for every pastor that doesn't want coaching, but I'm just saying that sometimes we don't want coaching because we don't want anybody really looking at what we're doing. Sometimes we don't want coaching because we feel like we got it under control. But sometimes we don't want coaching because we don't want to look like we don't have the answers, because I'm supposed to have the answers. I mean, I'm the senior pastor, right? So I'm supposed to know. Everybody's looking to me to know what to do. And if I reach out for coaching, then somehow that means that I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And so I think that hinders a lot of people. But I just want to come out and say, I think that your whole ministry, you should be searching for coaching. Mm. I was just telling you, Ben, just a minute ago, I just recently engaged a guy that I want him to coach me on some things, because I know he's been really good in the business world in this particular area. And I said, "Hey, I'd like to meet with you for the next three to five times, you know, maybe once a month, and I want to talk about these topics." Because here's the deal: if we have a conversation and I don't learn anything from that, I'm no worse off for it, right? But if he goes, "Hey, I think that's on point. You could tweak it and make it better this way," then I'm like, "Oh, that's golden." And I met with this guy just the other day, and he offered an idea that I thought, "Oh, that was worth the lunch."
Yeah.
You know, so why would I not want to do that? Why would I not want to go to proven practitioners and say, "Hey, here's what I'm thinking. You think I'm on the right track or not?" I've just found that to be incredibly valuable. So here I am, you know, I'm way into this you know, but I'm not saying I've got it all figured out. Yeah. I want to be, always be a learner and always be growing. And there's always some area of your ministry that you're just not very, you don't feel like you're very good at, right? Or I think I'm good here, but I don't know. I feel insecure. Or I feel like I could get better here. And then you seek out someone that you think is really good in that area to coach you up. It's a wonderful thing. And I have a guy that I've reached out to. He's led at a very high level, large church, and then denominational work and so on. But he told me, he said, you know what? I did the same thing. And he's like in his 70s, right? He said, I still have got a guy that I reach out to. So I think that just shows that you're constantly teachable, you're constantly growing, and that sets a great example for your team. Our team knows that I do that.
Yeah.
And so that just kind of makes it okay, it makes it almost expected that you should be seeking out people to help you get better.
Yeah. So, Randy, I want you to chime in on a point here. So, as people are listening to this episode, what would you say to them if they're really hesitant about coaching? Like, I don't need anybody. Like all the things that Craig just said, I don't need you in my business. I don't want to admit that. How would you encourage them to reach out for coaching?
I would say, one of the things I would say is that it just being able to meet with another brother, you know, even if it's just once a month, is so encouraging, and having someone to speak truth into your life, to, you know, cheer you on if your idea is great and it'll work. Or, you know, for us, you know, redoing our mission statement, I had come up with one that I thought was really catchy and really would work well. And then as I talked with you and Glenn, y'all both began to ask questions that made me rethink through it. And it wasn't really as clear as I thought it was. And so I would just say that at some point you have to lay down the pride and just this, I have to know everything and everybody expects that, because the reality is, I don't know that our church people really expect that out of us. Mm. And so for me, it's been a big help. Just the encouragement has been worth the whole process. And then you add on all the other benefits that come out of it. It has been well worth my time.
Yeah.
You know, Ben, insecure leaders don't really reach out for help, right? Because I feel insecure. I don't want people to think I don't have it together. But one of a great sign that you're not insecure, you're very secure in your leadership, is one that's always asking for, you know, hey, how can I make this better? What do you think about this? Because then you get input and it makes it what you're doing sharper and better and more effective. And for me, that's the end game. I just want this to be really well done. And I've met with coaches in the past and they would say, Craig, I think you're right on track. I wouldn't change anything. Well, that encourages me. Hey, I'm right on track. Or, hey, I think if you just tweak this here, man, you could go to the next level. And I want that too. So it's really a win-win when you have a good coach and you respect them and they're adding value to you.
Yeah. And so, man, this conversation, I love your perspective from both of you. And it's really good. I want to take a quick break from this conversation and come back. And I really want to talk about that. Like, what makes a good coach? Like, what a good coaching experience, a good coach? Cause I feel like a lot of leaders, maybe you're coaching the other people on your staff. Maybe you're coaching another leader, another pastor at another church. So it's not always, you know, this formal thing where someone is coaching you from this organization, but sometimes it's how can you be a better coach? And that's, I want to get into that here in a minute. So let's take a quick break.
Ministry can be lonely. Now more than ever, pastors are feeling the pressure of raising expectations among their members. Pastors are expected to be stellar preachers, effective evangelists, thoughtful counselors, courageous change agents, astute business managers, all the while steering the church to accomplish its mission. And all of this can be overwhelming at times. Wouldn't it be great to have someone in your corner, someone who understands what you're facing and can help you make the wise decisions that lead the church to make disciples of all nations? Disciple First is here to help. We can provide you with personalized coaching that will help you develop and sustain a healthy movement of multiplying disciples. Our coaching includes a free evaluation to identify your church's health and your current sticking points. Also, a roadmap for sustained health and a team of proven leaders that will give you customized counsel to help you move forward. Listen, you don't have to be alone in ministry. Let's start talking today. For more information and a free ministry evaluation, go to disciplefirst.com/coaching. That's disciplefirst.com/coaching.
Well, welcome back. Thank you for this great episode, Craig and Randy. And I want to get back into it, like we said, about what makes a good coach. What are some maybe some just tangible things someone can think about if they're asked to coach somebody else? Like we said, maybe a fellow staff member. You have other people underneath you, your group's pastor, your all the different other people on your staff, or maybe you get the blessing of somebody actually in your community reaches out, another pastor in your community, and says, "Hey, I just want help. I need help," and reaches out to you. What makes a good coach?
Well, I tell you what, Ben, if as a pastor, you're going to be in a position to coach a lot of people, whether, like you said, staff members, church members, other people in the community, your own kids. You know, you're going to be thrown into that role. And I found that there are six questions that really help people move toward clarity in just about any decision that you're making. And I'd like to go ahead and share those.
Yeah,
and I think that you can take these six questions, and this could be a great template for you as you meet with staff members or as you coach people in your sphere of influence. So the first question is, what is your goal? I think that simple question, forces you to be clear. What is the goal? What are you trying to accomplish? And sometimes we're so caught up in all the details that we don't pull our head up and go, what am I trying to do here? What is my goal? Now, it could be more specific. What is your goal for this department? Or what is your goal for this event? You know, it could be that specific. Or what is your goal for your church? What is your goal this year that you're really working on? But I think clarifying the goal, clarifying the end of where you're trying to get to is really important, instead of trying to come up with solutions that you're not really sure where you're headed. And so that's a really good one. You can spend a lot of time right there. the second question is, what is your current reality? So if my goal is here where I want to get to, and my current reality is somewhere else, I'm not at that goal yet. What is my current reality? Maybe my goal is I want to grow the church to 700 people. My current reality is we're at 300. Okay. So let's talk about that. What does your current reality look like? A lot of times when we talk to pastors, we'll get a little intake right at the beginning. What's your current status, right? Yep. Because we can see right off the bat maybe where some challenges are, where some holes are. And so just clarifying your reality, clarifying where you want to end up, those are two really, really important questions. Question number three then is, what options do you have to try to move forward toward that goal? What moves could you make? What decisions could you make? And so this is really where you're kind of being more brainstorming, creating lots of options. We usually whiteboard a lot of things, and usually I'll say, what else? And we'll do more. And then I'll say, what else? And we'll do more. And then I'll say, what else? And you'll hit a point, well, there's nothing else. Well, keep thinking on it,
Keep digging.
And then we dig a little deeper. Oh, yeah. Well, what maybe I could do this. And so we list off all these options. And this is really a challenging exercise for anybody, but it's a great way to kind of generate ideas, creative ideas. And most of the time, they're not going to come right off the bat. You got to dig a little deeper, think about it a little bit longer to really pop out some good creative thoughts. So that's, what is your goal? What's your reality? What are your options? And you keep asking, what else? What else? The fourth question then is, of these options, what do you think is the right thing to do, right? What will you do moving forward? Let's circle the top three. Then let's talk about the top one. Which are the ones that you think would really make the most move forward? And so you have to come to a point that says, I will do X. So maybe my option to reaching that attendance goal is we're going to need to grow more groups, and we're going to have more reach in our community. We're going to have to do some type of community engagement, whatever your decision is, that now you're kind of locked in. I'm going to do this. And so there will be a lot of questions wrapped around, well, what would that look like? But then once you've kind of locked in, what will you do? Then the next question is, what's your timeline? Okay, if you're going to do this, we're going to launch 10 new community outreach projects. Well, when will you do that? Well, we'll do that in this year. We're going to do 3 in the fall, 3 in the spring, 4 in the summer, and that's how we're going to do it. Now I've really dialed into actionable things. I have a timeline. I have some accountability now as to when I'm going to get those done. And then the last question a good coach would ask is, you know, how can I help you?
Yeah.
How can I pray for you? You know, how can I support you? Well, I need you to hold me accountable. All right, great. When do you want me to call you? You know, I'll call you every month and say, how's it coming on that? You know, or I need you to come, you know, it'd be helpful. You talk to one of my leaders. Great. I can do that too. But I'm here to serve you. And how can I help you best in this process of making this action that moves your current reality closer to your goal? And so when you look at those 6 questions, goal, reality, options, will, what will you do, timeline, and how can I help, that really forms an acrostic growth.
Yeah.
And I've always found that that's just a super simple thing. Now, that's not unique to us. I've read a lot about the grow. We kind of added the T and the H at the end just because the timeline and how can I help, I think, are also very vital. But if I've just said, Craig, I want you to sit down and have a cup of coffee with this guy and coach him for an hour, and I didn't know anything,
yep,
I would walk in with these 6 questions kind of in my tool belt. And I think that at the end of it, I could have this, whoever I'm talking to could have greater clarity on where they're headed, what their reality is, what the actions are going to take, when will they take them, and what help do they need moving forward.
Yeah. And I think I really like the last two. And I know, again, from Randy's kind of touched on it, but just our experience in working with you, Randy, I think the timeline and the accountability was where you really needed, where you've kind of expressed, hey, this was extremely valuable. We know what we're going to do. Like we worked through all this is, you know, these are the changes. These are the initiatives. This is what we're going to work on. But the real value in it was saying, we're going to work on this in the first quarter. We're going to work on this in this month. And then the accountability from us, and, you know, again, lovingly, and because we have a friendship built, but really saying, okay, where are you in that?
Yeah, I would agree. That's two of the key things is, one, because, I mean, you can, as a pastor, you can be really busy all the time and actually not accomplish anything other than get a sermon together every week. So having that timeline and somebody sort of holding you accountable to some things, and then also being able to provide the help, whether if it's some extra coaching from someone in particular or resources or, you know, praying or encouraging or whatever that may be, I would agree those two things are very important.
Yeah, I've heard it said, never confuse activity with productivity. Yep. And you're right. We can be very busy, you know, doing stuff, but it's not stuff that's moving you forward. You know, you're visiting a hospital, you're talking to people, you're getting your sermon done, but not really moving the organization forward. And so this kind of clarity and then accountability really helps you do that.
Yeah. And I want to direct one more question as we kind of come to an end of this episode. So Randy, why do you think, so, hey, church, you've identified some things in your church that need to change. And why do you think it's critical though, that it requires a change in the pastor or the leadership to make the change in the church?
Well, I think it was Einstein that said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And so if the pastor doesn't change, the church will never change. You can't lead the church somewhere that you've not gone. And so if you're still way back here, and if a pastor's not making disciples who make disciples, then how can you expect the church to be doing those same thing?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I think Craig has said before, you know, culture is shaped from the top. And again, there is some, and remember, we're doing a spiritual work. We're not just some corporate business thing going and, right, and executing strategy. This is a spiritual work, and a lot of things are communicated. Is this real in your life is actually translated and communicated whether we think so or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And people can sniff it out really fast, right? They can tell, well, he's saying that, but he doesn't live that way.
Yeah.
And vice versa is also true. Man, if people go, no, he really does that. I've seen that. Then that just adds so much more credibility to what you're saying and consistency over time. So I would just encourage Ben, I would encourage every leader to reach out for coaching every year. Now, again, that didn't have to be with Disciple First. If we're not able to provide what you need, then that's great. I do that, and I really encourage our staff to do that. What's an area this year that you really want to grow in? And who do you know that's really good at that, that you could buy them lunch a couple of times and just ask them how to get better? You know, ask them to coach you up in this area. You know, we celebrate coaches in the United States, right? You know, the Sabins of the world, you know, we love these great coaches that have coaching trees and they really do great. You know, some of the most influential men in my life as a young man were the coaches.
Yeah.
And so wouldn't it be great to be a coach like that for others? And wouldn't it be great to receive that kind of coaching from other great leaders? And so why would you not want to just build this into your ongoing development every year?
Yeah. And I think that's just a great encouragement. And I hope pastors are listening, truly listening to that. And again, Randy, thank you for being on today. It's always a great day when I get to talk to you or see you. Too bad I didn't get to see you today, but I got to talk to you. So it's great to talk to you today.
Yeah. Thank you, Randy.
I appreciate you guys reaching out. I enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I know it's an encouragement to people because, again, I know your journey and I know your heart for making disciples and leading your church well. So I'm sure people were encouraged today from that. And again, as far as moving on from this episode, we're going to have some links in the episode notes. So number one, for links for coaching, we coach at Disciple First. We provide a main part of our ministry is coaching leaders on really and establishing where are you? What do you need? How can we help you move forward? And really, we want to do that again holistically. We want to do that in your directly for your context. And so that begins with you just reaching out. And, you know, we can't coach you unless you let us know. So on our coaching page, there's a request. You can just reach out. Hey, I'm interested and would like to know more. We provide free evaluations. It's not going to hurt anything. We'll work through an evaluation with you and kind of ask some questions about your church, provide a proposal, and you can say, nope, I'm good. Or you can say, yeah, this sounds great. And so we want to be a help. Again, that can be with disciple making culture, the things that you're reading or listening to at trainings. How can we fit that in your context, but also just general leadership challenges. We want to be that person that's in your corner, that coach that just is cheering you on and encouraging you wherever you need. And so we've built coaching for that. So again, you can find that at disciplefirst.com/coaching, and we'll have that link in the episode notes again. And just another big thank you to Craig and Randy for being on the episode today.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Randy. We sure appreciate you. And thank you for listening to another episode of the Disciple Making Leader Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, brought to you by Disciple First. We hope today's episode has been both helpful and challenging in your journey to becoming a disciple making leader. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you hear the next episode. And if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, keep making Jesus the model for your life and ministry.